It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. In 2022, the head coach of the UW-Madison women's cross-country team resigned after about 2.5 years on the job.
In recent months, 5 former athletes who competed under Mackenzie Wartenberger came forward with allegations that her leadership fragmented the team and created a toxic environment, causing mental health struggles. The athletes brought up patterns of emotional abuse, body shaming, and dismissing injury concerns.
Now, similar allegations are surfacing in UW women's basketball. This month, 5 former players brought a suit against their former coach, Marissa Mosley, and other UW administrators, claiming they were subject to psychological abuse, retaliation, and discrimination.
One of the former cross-country runners joins us now. And as a warning, this conversation has mentions of suicide. Lexley Westley ran for the Badgers from 2019 to 2024. She holds a master's degree in sports leadership from UW-Madison and is now an assistant coach of the men's and women's cross-country teams at Rutgers University. Lexi, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me. Again, I really appreciate you reaching out and this opportunity. And I'm just really, really grateful for this.
Can you describe your passion for running and for being an elite athlete? Can you take us into this world?
Yeah. I mean, I come from a long line of athletes and coaches. So the passion around women's sports, men's sports, everything was there. And, you know, I grew up a soccer player and then I found my way into running and running quickly became my world and my everything. And I have such a deep love for this sport. And ultimately, you know, what I've gone through in my life, my career, and a lot of this experience shaped me into my dream of wanting to become a college coach and just learn what I used at Wisconsin and in my life to, you know, this program here.
Can you describe your experience as a student athlete at Wisconsin?
Wisconsin really gave me the greatest 5 years of my life. I couldn't be more thankful for the friends I made, the experiences. Like, these are the memories I'm going to have forever, and it makes me emotional when I think about my time. Obviously, I had a lot of ups and downs through the coaching experiences, you know, loss of a teammate and a friend. But I had the greatest 5 years of my life, and I wouldn't trade my Wisconsin experience for anything.
What compelled you to go on the record and to speak out about your experiences under your previous coach, Mackenzie Wartenberger, who left the university in January 2022?
You know, after going through just mental, verbal, emotional, you know, abuse and just being degraded by your coach for so long, like, you just were in a place of fear. So it took a lot of that confidence building, reflection, therapy, you know, talking with my friends, my family, and now also being in a coaching role. You know, I'm in a position of leadership with 36, 37 athletes that I coach. And it's like, if I can share my story and be vulnerable, you know, I could help one of them or help another athlete or a future recruit. And I knew I needed to, you know, step up and speak out.
Was the coaching and the treatment mostly verbal in nature?
There was a really, really interesting divide on our team in the sense of half of us, you know, roughly half of us were enduring, you know, just fear and horror under Mackenzie's coaching. Again, she was super passionate about coaching, about the sport. But the way that she expressed that probably wasn't the appropriate and correct way to do so. But then the other half of our team, you know, were really just seeing, you know, tough coaching, and they weren't experiencing the constant, you know, yelling, the fear, the panic attacks, she would go after the way I dressed. I'm someone who dresses colorful and I have glitter and sparkles, and she'd go after my character as a person, made, you know, very nasty verbal remarks about my family and the people that raised me, the character traits that make me who I am and my personality. And that was really hard. You know, as a coach, I'm looking at that now. I'm like, those are all things that are not what a coach should be, quote, coaching you. Like, those don't have to do with my running. And it was really hard to feel like a woman who's preaching woman empowerment. And, you know, I was watching my confidence just crumble under, you know, just before my own eyes, and how I, you know, I didn't really wear my colorful, you know, shorts, my headbands. I wasn't really acting the same. I'd go home on breaks and, you know, you're leaving for to go, you know, I'm getting ready to fly back to Wisconsin and over Christmas break. And, you know, I'm having I'm having panic attacks in front of my parents because I didn't want to go back to school.
Were athletes, your fellow runners, expected to push through pain? And what was that pain like?
Yeah, I had injuries a lot in college. I had multiple stress injuries, but there were women who, you know, voiced and brought up out loud, you know, I have something wrong. Something hurts in my foot, my shin, something, some sort of pain, and were told to keep going, were not believed, you know, were called babies, were called other not great terms and derogatory terms that, you know, maybe a coach shouldn't be calling their athlete when they're bringing up an injury. And we're running through injuries and running through pain, you know, body shaming, comments about weight, comments about, you know, again, things that are not appropriate to be bringing up and at any time, but also in public settings in front of the rest of the women on our team.
I do want to take a breath here and talk about your late teammate, Sarah Scholes, who died by suicide in April of 2022. Not only your teammate, also your roommate and close friend. What was Sarah like?
Sarah was the most outgoing, smart, driven young woman, like, ever. She was so passionate about, you know, voting and voting rights, mental health, women's rights, student athlete rights. She just embodied this, you know, there is a reason why she wanted to go into law. She was just so driven and goal oriented, but she also had this wild child side. And that's something that we all loved. She was always, you know, she'd always say, like, we have to do it for the plot. That big, bold laugh that she had. And, you know, she was just a California girl at heart. And we'd always joke of, like, you know, we're the two coasters, like the West Coast, East Coast girls, like, meet.
How did competing as a student athlete, how might that have affected Sarah?
Yeah. The pressures, again, of being at a, you know, Division I, Big Ten, you know, now it's Power Four school, university, just naturally brings stress just with the, you know, the nature of what we're doing. Also, you know, being a scholarship athlete, you know, the expectations that were on our backs and our, you know, of performing, immediately when we came in, you know, it's something Sarah and I bonded over, when we came in as freshmen, of just being scholarship athletes. The, you know, we were told, you know, you are expected to score. You are expected to be in our top five as a freshman. You know, you are worth X amount of dollars to us. Like, if you are not, you know, you are, quote, useless. You know, we're also just young women in society. Like, there's just pressures to look a certain way, act a certain way, you know, and just uphold these standards of what society has for us. And I think a lot of that, combined with Sarah did have struggles coming into college with mental health, it was that storm that unfortunately led to, you know, a split moment, you know, back in April.
Did you have access to a sports psychologist through the UW or a team mental health professional to talk through some of these issues?
Our team was actually assigned a mental health, like, liaison who worked directly with UW, but she often came in and worked with team on, like, visualization and mindfulness. But I also met with her about biweekly. But in the beginning, it was hard to get appointments. You know, I felt like I had to, you know, cancel appointments because I had practice or I had a class or I had something, you know, an optional X, whatever it was, XYZ, you know, thing for the sport. And I had to miss, you know, my meetings, which those were important to me. You know, at the time they were helping me through really dark moments. And it's like I was having to skip, or I felt like I had to skip because I had to be at an obligation.
But shouldn't there have been some red flags for these psychologists as they were listening to these stories?
There could have just been, I think, a little bit more watch for us. Again, there's no handbook for how to handle these things. Like, I get that. But it is really hard, like, thinking back and being like, how did nobody notice? Or like, what we were saying, like, how did that not get brought up to hire, like, quicker?
How do you feel about how the UW responded to reports of abuse from you and your teammates?
Yeah, it's tough because we really didn't come out with, like, you know, I didn't come out with my story until this year. So, you know, them not really saying a lot when we were first, you know, while we were in school was, you know, maybe not surprising. But then now after us coming out and saying our story, what was happening, and then kind of declining to respond, like, I get it's a very, you know, again, no rule book, handbook for how to handle this, but it felt like we were not taken care of, or like there hasn't been a lot of change post. Mm-hmm. And that's just a little bit frustrating and disappointing. We're trying to help and make this university and the athletic department the best, you know, in the country. And just trying to help somebody. You never know who could be helped.
Lexi, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much again, and for, you know, listening and wanting to have this conversation, spread awareness again about mental health. And, you know, I'm also just really, really proud of myself for speaking up about this and hopefully encouraging and empowering the next generation of student athletes.
That is Lexi Westley. She competed for the UW Badgers women's cross country team from 2019 to 2024. She is speaking out about her experiences that she described as a toxic team culture under the previous coach. Westley is now an assistant coach of the men's and women's cross country teams at Rutgers University. For a look at broader patterns of mental health and toxic team environments in college sports and the liability in cases like these, we're joined by Nellie Drew. She's a professor of practice in sports law at the University at Buffalo and director of its Center for the Advancement of Sport. Nellie, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much.
We just heard from one of five former athletes speaking out about toxic culture on the UW women's cross country team. We now have seen five former UW women's basketball players suing Wisconsin for a situation that has parallels. What might these situations say about the climate within the athletic department?
These situations occur when you have an imbalance of power, of leverage, right? So Lexi mentioned the fact that she was afraid all the time, that they were running scared literally because of the concern that they're going to lose their spot on the team or potentially, I suppose, your scholarship. And that element permeates the complaint as well. And it's a you know, function of the leverage the coaches have over student athletes, which, as she alluded to, it started to shift a bit, right, with the evolution of the transfer portal and NIL. We're starting to see that counterweight come back up a little bit. So the athletes aren't in quite the same position as they may have been during the period of time when this occurred. And I'm sure, in fact, I actually know that the university did have, you know, policies and procedures in place. But the challenge with those policies and procedures, first of all, was that they did not provide much of a roadmap to go around the people in the department who were the problem. And in addition to that, even if it's a really good policy or procedure, it still depends upon people holding other people accountable. And so the sense I'm getting is that in this athletic department, the coaches were allowed to pretty much do what they wanted to do, and nobody was going to stop them. And that's not a healthy environment.
How should a D1 university respond to allegations like this when they first arise, even informally?
Well, one would hope there'd be a thorough investigation. And they kept getting assurances that they were going to be looking into it or something along those lines, but those things never actually transpired. And you had parents going in and meeting with athletic department officials, and that didn't get anywhere. So I really wonder what the culture of accountability was at the highest levels inside the athletic department.
D1 athletes at the UW, they do have access to a sports psychologist. Some former psychologists declined to talk with us about the situation. Why might that access not work or not help these women if they were seeking counseling?
One of the things that troubled me the most about this situation is that in the complaint, there are allegations made that one young lady was taken off of her ADHD medications, and in the course of 1 year, prescribed 11 different drugs. That's mind-boggling. And yes, I really don't understand what the communication process was between the mental health professionals and the athletic department administration. And of course, one of the concerns that's laid out in the complaint is that the women's basketball coach was basically insisting that her players share with her information that should be protected, health information about their mental health treatment in particular.
Can you tell us what you've seen around the country or how this plays into a larger issue?
We see it annually in at least one institution, and sometimes with really awful consequences, as has happened here, right? It's a question, as I said, of accountability. It's a question of recognizing that anytime you have a situation where a lot of people are going to be interacting on a regular basis in stressful situations, that there's going to be the potential for some kind of bad conduct to occur. And oftentimes it's not even intentional. The problem is that when a misstep occurs and it's not corrected, then people start to let more things slide. And that's where you get to a point where behavior like this, where you have a coach, you know, the basketball coach in particular, was calling players in on a daily basis and players were leaving her office in tears on every single day. Somebody should have recognized in that department that something was wrong.
You mentioned name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal that might be changing the stakes for athletes and their ability to have some leverage. What do you see happening on that front more recently?
Well, as you probably know, the transfer portal has been incredibly active. It gives athletes an avenue out, an exit ramp. If a coach comes in who is not a coach that they can have a good relationship with or in an environment that they don't feel positive or can feel like they can be successful in. So that's a huge help. And I know college coaches really don't care for it because it makes their job very, very hard. They're recruiting constantly. But having said that, it does give a sense of agency to the athletes, and certainly name, image, and likeness does as well.
Can universities, D1 universities, change their culture over time? And if so, how long does that take? Is it mean just a coaching switch, or is it something more entrenched that has to change?
I would suspect the latter because, again, it's no coincidence that you had two coaches in two different sports accused of similar behavior. That speaks to a larger issue. So whoever hired them, whoever was supervising them, who was responsible for their behavior, certainly either wasn't paying attention or was deliberately, as a complaint alleges, indifferent to it.
Nellie, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to speak with you.
Nellie Drew is a professor of practice and sports law at the University at Buffalo and director of its Center for the Advancement of Sport. She joined us for a look at patterns of mental health in toxic team environments in college sports. Earlier, we heard from Lexi Westley, who competed for the UW women's cross-country team and is now an assistant coach at Rutgers University.